Hello, this is Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated February 17th, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, For the Birds. Local group meets monthly at area wildlife reserves. Donette Beckett writes from Decatur, Cardinals, Orioles, Blue Jays, and Hawks aren't just the mascots for favorite sports teams. The animals are followed closely by another group of fans, the Second Saturday Regular Birders. Just as the name implies, the birders meet early in the morning on the second Saturday of the month, ready to roam through local state parks, studying and watching for various species of flying friends. Karen Penn, 71, lives near Lake Decatur. She and her family have watched the pelican migration for several years near her home. I thought I better get with the program and start knowing what I'm looking at, she said. This group is very educational. Susan Shaw and Beth Buskey organized the Bird Watchers gathering a year ago. Weather canceled the event only once, just because it was pouring down rain, Shaw said. We're like mailmen, I guess. Rain, sleet, snow. The group began through the motivation of a book. Red Tails in Love by Marie Wynne is about hawks living in New York City's Central Park. We liked the idea of these people that would meet up every day to watch for birds, Shaw said. The ladies narrowed the dates to once a month. Now, approximately 10 birders meet at various wildlife reserves to study birds. They have met near Lake Decatur, Fort Daniel Conservation Area, Allerton Park, and Rock Springs Nature Center, the park they consider their home base. Their most recent meeting was at Weldon Springs in Clinton. Next month's meeting will be at Spittler Woods State Natural Area. The group is affiliated with the Decatur Audubon Society and the University of Illinois Extension's Master Naturalist Program. But we'll take anybody, Buskey said. The birders will watch for every type of bird. It's kind of addicting, Buskey said. Shaw is the self-appointed secretary, keeping a log of the weather conditions, attendance, and species. 79 so far. We are especially looking for warblers because they are very hard to see, Buskey said. According to Buskey and Shaw, birders enjoy watching for birds in the spring and the fall during the migration. It helps when the trees are bare, then you can really focus in, Buskey said. The members suggest those wanting to attend a gathering dress according to the conditions. They should also bring water and binoculars. But I've got a couple of extra pairs, Shaw said. Members come from all over central Illinois, including Monticello and Bement. That's one reason we tried to pick some outlying areas, Shaw said, so travel is divided up. Jane White, 72, and her husband David from Bement heard about the Second Saturday Birders through the Master Naturalist Program. It's a way to learn the different birds, Jane White said about the monthly bird watchers. The common ones we know, but then there are different birds. It's amazing how many different ones there are, David White said. A few of the birders are able to recognize the species of birds by the sounds. Sometimes there are disagreements, Dave White said. Neither Buskey and Shaw consider themselves experienced birders. However, they will take the advice of those in the group who are. We just talk about birds, Shaw said. A few of the birders are educated in the species or ornithology. President of the Decatur Audubon Society, Melody Arnold, is one of the experts who tag along each month. I know as much as a few of the others here, she said. Arnold encourages anyone interested in nature to attend other Audubon events as well. The conservation organization is for people who are concerned about nature and habitat, about things that would affect birds, because those things also affect everything, she said. It's not just for the birds. Arnold said she is pleased with the number of people attending the monthly event, especially since the group meets early on a Saturday morning. And I'm not an early person, she said. Krista Ridgusa, 32, from Decatur, hopes the experience will help with future endeavors. I'm interested in working with birds in the future, she said about the experience. I slowly found my people. And the sidebar notes that it is the second Saturday regular birders, and they meet at 7 a.m. on the second Saturday of the month. They meet at various state parks, and the next meeting will be at Spittler Woods State Natural Area. The cost is free, and on the web you can look for Second Saturday Regular Birders Facebook page. And as I mentioned, this was part of the Together Decatur series. If you know a person or a story that exemplifies the best of Decatur, contact Donette Beckett at 217-421-6983. And next, forest activities. Decatur children learn about woodpeckers. Tony Reed writes, in show business, W.C. Fields warned you should never work with children or animals. But Alicia Callison, the Nature Center manager with the Macon County Conservation District, didn't get her feathers ruffled presenting a program called Wild Woodpeckers at Rock Springs Nature Center. With the recent deep freeze weather magically flown away and Sunday afternoon sunshine making 38 degrees feel positively balmy, Callison led a group of adults and young kids, aged four or so, into the great outdoors to look for woodpeckers. With excitedly chattering kids in tow, it would be easy to imagine no self-respecting woodpecker would flap within a mile of the 13-strong group, craning their heads skywards to gaze beseechingly at the tops of the Rock Springs pine trees. But you'd be wrong. Almost immediately, the group spotted a red-headed woodpecker, its bold red head plumage offset with a back and wings splashed in black and white. The kids were thrilled, and so were the adults. They spotted several more before marching back to the Rock Springs Center bird viewing window, where a downy woodpecker, its black and white plumage looking newly painted, arrived on a feeder as if by command, to further delight the viewing public. We were lucky with the birds. We were lucky with the weather, said Callison. It's a gorgeous day. Earlier, she had taken the youngsters through a quick fly-through of woodpecker background information. She shot questions at the kids, who sometimes replied with logic that was hard to fault. When Callison asked why the yellow-bellied sapsucker, a woodpecker who dines out on tree sap, only shows up in our Midwest neighborhood in the summer, 4-year-old Hayden Banks of Warrensburg replied, because he does. Then it was time for a woodpecker story and making a cool woodpecker face mask out of bits of brightly colored felt with assistance from both dabs of glue and the fully fledged adults who were present. Hayden and his identical twin brother, Hendrix, were being looked after by their Decatur grandparents, Kathy and Jerry Walters, who had never been to a Rock Springs Kids event before. Oh, yeah, definitely, we're going to be coming back, said Kathy Walters, 60. This isn't super long, and it's just perfect for their age. Callison said it's all about getting children hooked on the natural joys that surround them. We really hope that they leave with maybe a little appreciation for nature, she added, and maybe a little bit of wonder. And next, assisting sobriety effort. Central Illinois law enforcement agencies are offering help. After more than 2 decades addicted to methamphetamines and various attempts at sobriety, Scott Patnode has been clean for more than a year. Patnode, 38, found success after approaching an administrator of Safe Passage, a recovery program designed to assist addicts and alcoholics with getting into detoxification and rehabilitation programs. The program, which is spreading throughout central Illinois, allows people struggling with addiction to turn in their drugs and ask for help from participating law enforcement agencies. Patnode acknowledges that this initial phone call to the Kincaid police station was to make himself look favorable in the court system. "I was put on probation, and they were going to send me to rehab regardless," he said. "It made me look better that I went and did it on my own." Now he has good relationships with the police chief and his probation officer. "It's great not having the worries," Patnode said. The first Safe Passage program in Illinois began in Dixon in 2015. Since then, other communities' law enforcement agencies have adopted the initiative, including Taylorville, Kincaid, Pena, Springfield, Lincoln, McLean County, Livingston County, and others continue to be added to the program, including most recently, Mattoon. Governor Bruce Rauner signed legislation in 2018 that made it easier for communities to implement programs. "We have the same rules and guidelines," said Denise Evans, Safe Passage Coordinator in Taylorville. While Macon County does not offer a formal Safe Passage program, the Sheriff's Office does maintain a relationship with Crossing Healthcare's Recovery Center, a newly built treatment facility funded by former Sheriff Howard Buffett. Safe Passage is an anonymous program in which coordinators contact various rehabilitation facilities for the addict. The client's information is retrieved when he or she registers, but remains with the facilitators. The not-for-profit program is funded by donations and grants. The program's expansion comes at a time when Illinois is grappling with a growing addiction crisis. In 2016, there were 1,946 opioid overdose deaths in Illinois, nearly twice the number of fatal motor vehicle crashes, according to the Illinois Department of Public Health. Taylorville Chief of Police Dwayne Wheeler said a person who contacted rehab facilities outside of the Safe Passage program might face a roughly 2-month wait time. Since July 1st, Evans has helped 60 clients into rehab facilities. "The success rate is probably close to 70% that are staying clean," she said. "They have jobs now and are getting their families back together." After a bed has been found, volunteers transport the addict to a facility located somewhere throughout the state. Those affiliated with the program promise no judging. "We know it's a disease," Wheeler said. Megan Middleton says Safe Passage was the first positive step she took towards staying clean. Middleton, 23, had started by using pain pills, but eventually found herself a heroin addict. "I was hurting everyone around me," she said. "I didn't care about anything at all." Middleton's addiction cost her custody of one of her daughters. She is currently working to get her daughter back. "I've been sober for a little over a year now," she said. "I feel great." In Christian County, the addicted person's first Safe Passage relationship often begins with a police officer, then the coordinator. In Taylorville, Evans has met people at their worst. "When they make up their mind that they need help, they've usually lost everything," Evans said. "They've hit rock bottom." Middleton's life continues to improve. She has a secure home with her other daughter, her fiancé, and a job with the Department of Rehabilitation. "I feel better about myself and I feel healthy," she said, "but I couldn't do it on my own." Although the police station can be intimidating for anyone, especially an addict, Safe Passage volunteers promise safety and anonymity. "The addicts come to the station on their own. We don't go out there and find them," Wheeler said. Coordinators encourage the addicts to arrive at the police station. When an addict calls from home, Wheeler has witnessed a change of mind by the next day. At the police station, they know they are going to go to rehab, he said. Wheeler has been an officer for more than 20 years. This is by far the best community policing tool, he said. You are helping a person get better, you are helping the neighborhood and the families. Crime drops. In the past 2 years, Christian County has had 160 people use the Safe Passage program, Wheeler said. Before he came to Taylorville, Wheeler was the police chief in Kincaid, where he started the Safe Passage program in January 2018. Wheeler brought the program to Taylorville when he began his new job in July. Drug abuse often leads people to commit other offenses, such as stealing, to support the addiction. But when you treat the addict, they don't steal anymore, Wheeler said, and it cleans up the neighborhood. Christian County Judge Brad Paisley has witnessed the positive impact of Safe Passage firsthand. Paisley presides over juvenile and civil cases, as well as problem-solving courts, which include drug, mental health, and veterans treatment. Those are specialty courts where we're trying to do something different than incarceration with people that are in trouble with the law, that have mental health problems or drug problems, Paisley said. It's an alternative to prison where there's structured programming. Paisley introduced Safe Passage to the county after learning of similar successful programs throughout the country. It goes by different names depending on where you're at, Paisley said. The first program was started in Gloucester, Massachusetts, where Police Chief Leonard Campanello began to allow heroin addicts to come to the police department, turn in their drugs and paraphernalia, and not be arrested. The Dixon program was modeled after this initiative. Paisley said Taylorville and Dixon have similar demographics, and they saw a 37% drop in their crime rate by doing nothing but implementing the Safe Passage program, Paisley said of the original Illinois program. The fundamental plan for the program is to get the client out of the cycle of addiction. With addiction comes crime, Paisley said. People steal to feed the drug habit or commit crimes of violence. Advocates argue that treating drug addiction remains far less costly than addressing the crimes and harm it causes. The Illinois Department of Corrections says the cost to incarcerate an inmate in Illinois for a year is approximately $38,000. Other statistics show roughly two-thirds will return to prison within 3 years of getting out, Paisley said. Your return on your investment as a taxpayer is there's a two-thirds chance you're going to be doing it all over again in 3 years, he said, and your communities aren't any safer. Court-ordered drug treatment costs approximately $6,000 a year per client, Paisley said. He cited national statistics showing that nearly 77% of graduates will not get arrested again. Safe Passage uses facilities that provide treatment, both mental health as well as for addiction. We try to break that cycle of addiction. We get them on the road to recovery and turn them into tax-paying citizens, Paisley said. Paisley has seen since 2011 that drug treatment plans could help some people charged with crimes. However, the justice system didn't provide a pathway to help addicts who had not been charged with a crime. Addicts might approach police officers asking for help. In the past, the only response that the officers could give was, "The only way I can help you is if I arrest you," Paisley said, which is a terrible answer. Now, those facing drug addiction in participating areas can come to the police station and get help immediately, Paisley said. Christian County judges and officers have already witnessed the positive effects of the program. Paisley said the majority of the cases he hears are somehow connected to drug use. He often presides over juvenile abuse cases. A large percentage of those cases are neglect involving parents that are addicted to drugs, he said. They may not have been arrested, but they got their kids taken away. Paisley will suggest defendants contact Safe Passage to help. I'll make the phone call for you, he said. Before Safe Passage was implemented, people facing addiction sometimes struggled to find a facility that could take them, and this turned out to be the biggest struggle for the new program once it was introduced. If you have a heroin addict or a meth addict that gets the courage to walk into a police station, which is no small feat, and we tell them, come back in 2 or 3 months, they'll have a bed, then they're not coming back, Paisley said. They will be dead or in jail or out there in the wind. Gaining trust was another struggle. There were rumors that Safe Passage was a police tactic to get felons into the police station. They thought it was some kind of scam by the police to trick people into coming in and then arresting them, Paisley said. Bloomington Police Public Affairs Officer John Furman said his department to combat that rumor as well. Law enforcement agencies in McLean County announced in 2018 that they would implement the program. We don't take the drug, then prosecute them, Furman said. We drive them to a health center or a hospital. Now, people know that they can reach out to police for assistance. If someone approaches an officer, the officer can initiate the help, but it's up to officers if they suggest Safe Passage, Furman said. Awareness and education were the only source the police had to convince addicts about the program. The word eventually trickled out that this isn't a trick, Paisley said. PENA Chief of Police Daniel Bland understands some might abuse the program to avoid accountability. This program isn't for people trying to get out of trouble, he said. This is for people who haven't had any other options. Bland has witnessed positive results. There are some who are doing incredibly well, and we are very proud of them, he said. They are also very supportive of the program, which had a direct impact on turning their lives around. Mattoon Police Deputy Chief Sam Gaines is currently facilitating the start of a new Safe Passage program in his city. A successful program depends on volunteers and coordinators. If you have to turn people away, then you don't have a program, he said. You have to have your ducks in a row. In order for the program to get off the ground, Gaines needed local and backup volunteers, including drivers and coordinators. Like so many communities in central Illinois, Mattoon is feeling the effects of drug addiction. Meth is an epidemic. It is everywhere, he said. We see a lot of meth arrests, but we are big on policing it, too. The officers have come in contact with people addicted to prescription pills, alcohol, and heroin as well. We have a proactive department, Gaines said. They want to see the drugs get out of the community. Addicts with outstanding warrants will need to address the problem before they enter the program. However, Evans has often addressed the judge and probation officer on behalf of the client if he or she wishes to take part in Safe Passage. I can start the procedure and getting them out of custody for that moment so they can get help, she said. But after their release, we take them right back to jail. From there, they go to court and take care of their warrant. The Safe Passage program may help the defendant during their court hearings. The judges see that and know that it is working, Evans said about the program's reputation. In the past, Evans has assisted clients shortly after they were arrested to get them into the Safe Passage program. Often, alternatives are jail and eventually prison or fines. People with addiction can go through a detoxification on their own in jail, rather than in a program designed to monitor and help them. That's really bad, Evans said. It can be deathly sick. Evans said participants are safe and not judged while they are part of a rehabilitation program. It is a safe pass to a new life, she said. And within the 30-day program, they will feel completely different. Truth is a requirement. The experienced staff can recognize lies as well as the stages of detox and withdrawal. Personal information is requested, including drug habits and medical history, since drug use can be the cause of many health-related issues. Then volunteer drivers transport the addict to the facility. After 30 days, the participants attempt to find a job as well as attend group therapy. Sober living housing is available, along with group and individual therapy. Families are invited as well to the open meetings. At the meetings, clients are allowed to be as open and honest as possible. They let it all out, Evans said. That's where they can. They let everyone know they are not ashamed of themselves. The meetings help addicts restart their lives. They learn they have to live differently, including associating with different people. A couple may have been your dealers and your best friends, Evans said. You have to understand they're not your friends. The addicts learn life's struggles and challenges will continue. Patnod was recently laid off from his job, and that's the first time in my life, he said. Instead of returning to drugs to ease the frustration, Patnod decided to continue improving his life by registering for welding classes. He understands the journey is not always smooth. During his last time in prison, he lost his grandmother, an uncle, and a girlfriend. But he sought another way of dealing with life's pains. That made me realize right there, it's just not worth losing it, he said. And to learn more about the Safe Passage program in Taylorville, call Safe Passage Coordinator Denise Evans at 217-777-0080 or call Taylorville Police Department at 217-824-2211. For safe passage in other areas, contact your local law enforcement agency. And next, man facing aggravated battery charges. From Decatur, a man is being sought on aggravated battery charges after he attacked a male victim on Friday and hit him hard enough to cause a deep laceration in his face, needing stitches to close, according to Decatur police. Detective Sergeant Chris Copeland said trouble flared just after 5 p.m. on Valentine's Day when the suspect, 34, arrived at a house in the 2100 block of North Church Street, asking to talk to his 33-year-old ex-girlfriend. Copeland said the woman did not want to speak to him, and the 57-year-old boyfriend of the girlfriend's mother told the man to leave. The younger man refused to go and began throwing around items in the front yard, while the older man was calling police, authorities said. The younger man stepped onto the front porch and a yelling quarrel began between the two men, police said. And then the 34-year-old guy punched the victim in the face with a closed fist, said Copeland. And he swung at him a second time but missed. And the other man swung back at the suspect and he missed before he grabbed the man in a bear hug to try to prevent him from punching him anymore. The two of them ended up wrestling on the ground before the suspect got up and left on foot. Copeland said police officers who saw the cut to the left side of the victim's upper lip described it as a severe laceration. The man refused an ambulance ride after being told the gash needed suturing, and Copeland said he informed paramedics that he was going to take himself to the emergency room later. And we'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review. Today is February 17th, 2020. Please stay tuned.